are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are presented to you today by SeatGeek and their fantastic SeatGeek app for your smartphone, which makes it easy to get tickets to join the fray at the Fieldhouse for home games or catch the Pacers on the road. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and on today's episode, we'll check in at Bankers Life Fieldhouse after Thursday's practice, and then dump out the old notebook from observations I had while at the game on Tuesday, the win over the Lakers. And also, we'll look ahead to the Bucks on Thursday as the Pacers hit the road and try and bump their record over 500. So before we get started, don't forget you can hit me up with any comments or questions via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at IndyCornrows. Okay, so the Pacers were back at practice on Wednesday after earning the win on Tuesday. And after practice, Thad Young was asked about the team's good starts in the first quarter and throughout the four games so far. And, you know, he acknowledged that, yes, they've been getting off the good starts, but the bigger concern is a need to sustain that quality effort for 48 minutes. And he can't put a finger on it, as I think is an issue throughout the team, but thinks that later in the game they get away from what they're doing successfully earlier, in particular not swinging the ball around, not moving on offense, not staying tied together on the defensive end. Thad Young also was pretty supportive of Jeff Teague, you know, just trying to keep him positive, understanding that he's a former All-Star, he is a good scorer in the league, has been for many years. Things are going to come around, and he will come around. So the ball movement and people movement on offense in the half court definitely been an issue. I know Caitlin Cooper did a good job writing up that issue on IndyCornrows.com just before the game yesterday. So check out what she had to say. She breaks it down very nicely. Also, Nate McMillan had his usual discussion with media following practice and mentioned that, you know, part of the team's development and growth is their ability to finish games. And a couple times during the game yesterday, start of the third quarter, and then at a stretch in the fourth quarter where they had a four-point lead, looked like they might be able to push ahead, they were not able to seize the opportunity and let the Lakers back in the game. So he was happy, obviously, with the stops they were able to get at the end of the game, but there were areas of the game where they need to know the time and score situation and value those possessions a little more and not look for a quick shot or, as he mentioned, be loose with the ball and turn it over. So just because they want to run doesn't mean you lose all of your basketball IQ and don't consider the game situation. And so that's part of the development of the team that he's trying to get through to them. He also mentioned it was good to see Aaron Brooks on the floor again. He said they were limited to the number of sets they could use because of his limited practice time with the team. He hadn't been through a lot of the playbook, so they were limited with what they could run. And also, he played with different lineups than he had ever played with in practice before. But bottom line, he made plays and had a big three, and it was good to have him out there. So he was also asked about the rotations and mentioned that they have to make adjustments with the second group now with Rodney Stuckey out, and he's trying to find some balance with that second group and trying to have not have all the bench players on the court at the same time, staggering minutes with the starters, and trying to allow them also to pace themselves throughout the game so they remain strong to the end of the fourth quarter. So that was evident yesterday. So while that rotation change was evident against the Lakers, it's also evident that McMillan isn't afraid to make adjustments. He hasn't made any major alterations, i.e. changing the starting lineup, but he's continued to mix and match the rotation off the bench and who they're playing with as far as with the starters. So now the Pacers head on to Milwaukee, where they'll play the Bucks. And looking back at some notes from the field house last night, which didn't include in yesterday's podcast, that back to that reserve lineup, for starters before the game, we learned that MRI results for Rodney Stuckey didn't show a tear, but McMillan did say he would be out weeks, not days, but weeks. So 2 weeks sounds like a minimum, and it sounded like it could be longer. So after hearing that, it was kind of discouraging to think that he was going to be down for a while. But then I went out to the court following McMillan's media session and saw Rodney Stuckey out there going through shooting workout, pregame individual workout, which is pretty rare for a guy who's injured and supposed to be out. So he wasn't limping around heavily and was going through a workout. So I kind of took that as a good sign that maybe there's a possibility he will be closer to the two-week time frame than later. And, of course, with the hamstring, that is day-to-day. And, you know, 10 great days and feeling like he's ready to go can be wiped out by 2 minutes of running down the court and having that thing strain again. So I'm sure they were going to be cautious with him this early in the season. And, you know, he wants to make sure he's fully ready to go. But just seeing him out there, I felt was at least positive, considering what we had heard from McMillan just a few minutes earlier. So about that rotation and reserve unit, the second quarters in particular have been brutal for the Pacers. Over the weekend in the two losses, they were outscored 70-42. That's just not getting it done. And of course, they didn't have Brooks or Stuckey in those games either. But with Brooks available, McMillan went with a veteran reserve group playing C.J. Miles and Lavoie Allen, Al Jefferson, and then even Kevin Serafin. So that left the young guys, Glenn Robinson III, Joe Young, and even Jordan Yang, who had all seen some action in the first three games, out of the game last night. They did not play. So the second quarter wasn't much better defensively, but at least they outscored the Lakers 35-33, so they left with an advantage. And we'll see how McMillan continues with that group. I'm assuming he'll probably continue with that group playing against the Bucks, who are a pretty big team. I can imagine still utilizing Lavoie and Serafin in there to kind of battle their size. So now, speaking of the young guys, Miles Turner had his quote-unquote worst outing of the young season against the Lakers. He struggled with foul issues, made just 2 of 7 shots, and finished with 9 points and 6 rebounds. He did have a couple of blocks, including a highlight smothered chicken stuff of Tarik Black. Actually, it wasn't really a block. He pretty much met him in the air and swiped it from him. And that led to a transition 3 from Monte Ellis. So that was a double highlight, which had the field house bumping after that play. So despite the off night, Turner's still averaging 18 points, over 9 rebounds, and 3 blocks per game. So not bad for that 20-year-old big, and ahead of the 15-8 bar I set for him, which I still think would be a great season. So he is ahead of pace. Even with the off night for a 20-year-old, we're going to have to endure some of those, there's no doubt. So the Pacers take on the Bucks again at Milwaukee on Thursday, and then return home to face the Bulls on Saturday night. Now make sure you use your SeatGeek app to get tickets and catch the game at the field house, which is always electric with the Bulls in town. You know, the NBA season is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house. Wherever you want to sit, whether that's courtside, club seats, or the upper level, SeatGeek can find those tickets for you. Now, I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and I've used it in the past, as I've mentioned, quite easily. And it's always easy to find tickets. In fact, I'm doing it right now, a couple taps. See what the latest prices are on the Bulls game. You've got upper level tickets in the 20s. Let's see, lower one, around $25. You can sit lower level behind the hoop for $63. So those prices indicate there are some good demand for tickets, and you know there will be with the Bulls in town. So you also know with SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending upon where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest price available. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. Now, best of all for my listeners, you get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. So, to get a $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Then enter promo code LOPACERS. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So, download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code LOPACERS today. Okay, before touching on the Bucks, I want to point you toward an article on IndyCornrows.com by Caitlin Cooper, which touches on the Pacers' defensive breakdowns. Now, CC hones in on the varied problems the Pacers are having defending the pick and roll, which has been inconsistent and, you know, leading to easy shot opportunities for the opponents. So check out the full article. I guarantee you will learn something for sure. Now, the Pacers find the Bucks sitting at 2-2 after they beat the Pelicans on Tuesday night. So in a very similar situation. They also beat the Nets for their other win. And their two losses were by double digits to the Pistons and Hornets. Now, Giannis Antetokounmpo is making things go for the Bucks big time. You know, his long talent skill set is creating some serious matchup problems, no doubt. And he's averaging over 23 points, 9.5 rebounds, almost 6 assists. So he is the key cog, without a doubt. Also of note, they've been bringing Greg Monroe, center, off the bench to play the middle, and playing him actually four more minutes than starter Miles Plumlee. Monroe's averaging over 10 points and 7 rebounds in about 21 minutes per game. So the Pacers, you know, they split a pair of preseason games with the Bucks, so they should at least be familiar with one another on the court. But, you know, now the games count for real, and both teams will be looking to build a little momentum with the W and consecutive wins. And I can't wait to discuss the outcome tomorrow. So thank you for listening. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the Pacers. So hit me up via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. Also, big thanks to SeatGeek. Remember, download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code LOPACERS, and get a $20 rebate on your ticket purchase. And don't forget, you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe to the pod on iTunes, and please leave a favorable review. Also, you can find it on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play. So all the past episodes are available. Please check them out. Okay, that's a wrap for today. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.